It's the Nam and Eggs Podcast with Rob Nam Noom, sponsored by Southern Colorado Napa Auto and Truck Parts, three locations, and Napa Know How to make sure you leave with the right part every time. Call 632-4616. That's 632-4616 for locations, hours, and parts information.
Yep, it's been a while. Welcome to another edition of the Nam and Eggs Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Nam Noom, sports director here at KRDO-TV in Colorado Springs, Pueblo. On today's podcast, we're going to chat about the Broncos hiring Vic Fangio. Championship Sunday, we'll get you ready for that. We'll get you set up. I'll make my picks. We got to talk about the Denver Nuggets and their play on the court of late. And Dave Ramsey of the Colorado Springs Gazette is going to join us to talk about the Nuggets, the Broncos, Air Force basketball, and his career. Dave is actually making a move in his career, and he's kind of going to take a different route. So for those of you who read the columnists for the Colorado Springs Gazette, you'll get to hear his insights on why he's making a move. But before we jump into it, of course, we got to thank our sponsor. This Nam and Eggs podcast presented by Southern Colorado Napa Auto and Truck Parts. Three locations to serve you and Napa know-how to make sure when you leave their store, you always have the right part in your hand every time. So you can call Napa and reach them at 632-4616. That's 632-4616 for locations, hours, and parts information. So it's that time of year where you might want to make sure you got enough radiator fluid in your car because it's going to get cold and we're going to get some snow eventually, right? So check out the guys at Napa. They do a great job there. All right, so before I dive into today's topics, going to have to apologize for not recording this podcast. It's been about 6 weeks, maybe even longer. Now I think about it, it's been almost 2 months since I've done one of these, and I miss doing it because one of the reasons why I love doing this Nam and Eggs podcast is I'm not restricted by time, unlike when I do the news on KRDO News Channel 13 every night at 6 and 10 o'clock. So, and thank you everybody who's supported this podcast and who's downloaded. All right, so let's start with the Broncos hiring Vic Fangio. I don't know if you were able to watch his introductory press conference, but and not that it translates to wins on the field, but man, I really like Vic Fangio. I liked him a lot. Just seems like a guy who loves football, just a regular down-to-earth guy. He's not one of these flashy, sexy, you know, 30-something-year-old coaches that everybody and NFL owners are all hot and bothered by. Yeah, John Elway went out and got himself a football coach. And what I like about Vic Fangio, I mean, straight out of Central Casting, right? He waited a long time for this opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL. And like Frank Sinatra, Vic Fangio is going to do it his way. And John Elway, what I'm impressed with when it comes to John Elway, and I know a lot of people are sour on John Elway right now because it's been 3 years since the Broncos last played in the playoff game. So John Elway went out and hired a guy who isn't going to be a yes man. And part of the reason why Vance Joseph failed as a head coach is he is a yes man. Now, if you go through the annals of time, every successful CEO, every successful businessman, every successful president, they have a right-hand man who's a real pain in the backside, who you have an idea, and they have an idea that's better, and that's why you have them on your staff. Because they're going to tell you, hey, you want to do things a certain way? Well, you're going to fail if you do it that way. And they're going to tell you that, and that's why you have them next to you, kind of like the devil on your shoulder. No, 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 no. You can't do things that way because you need to go about it this way in order for us to thrive as a business, to thrive as a football team. You know, John Elway's still the boss, and obviously he still's got his hand in everything. But Vic Fangio wants to hire his guys. So Elway went against the grain. Everyone, as I mentioned, looking for the Sean McVay type. And he went out and got himself a Grizzly veteran who's been coaching for almost four decades in the NFL. Now, and one of the reasons why this is an important hire for John Elway, because if he were a politician, his approval ratings right now would be at an all-time low. I mean, we haven't heard anybody recently say, in Elway we trust, right? Because we're not really trusting him these days. So, Fangio, what I liked about during his introductory press conference, and the phrase that really won John Elway over, was death by numbers. What a great phrase, right? And the meaning behind that is, we're not going to slowly die as a team because a linebacker can't show up on time for a meeting or be early. And as he put it, if you allow one guy to show up late 30 seconds for a meeting, then the next day it's two guys. Then the next day it's four guys. And now they're not late by 30 seconds. They're late a minute. They're late 2 minutes. And that's his approach to football, death by inches. And you have to prevent that in order to be a successful football team. And one thing John Elway has always liked is a guy who's commanded the locker room. And I will say this about Vance Joseph, and I've talked to people who didn't think this was the case, but it was actually the opposite. The players loved playing for Vance Joseph. They really liked playing for him. And if you looked at the Broncos roster the last month, there were a handful of players who they're not even good enough to be on practice squads, and they were playing a significant amount of time. And they played hard. They just didn't produce any wins. So one of the things I like Vic Fangio did, and forgive me, Bronco fans, is he didn't fall into the Gary Kubiak trap. You know, Kubes is returning. We're going to run the stretch play like we did in the late 90s with Terrell Davis. No, that's not going to work anymore in today's football. You know, and kudos to Elway, because he didn't force Fangio to keep Kubiak on in some advisory role and then bring in Rick Dennison. Well, Rick Dennison and Gary Kubiak, the 2 years when Kubes was the head coach in Denver, granted it produced a Super Bowl, but their offense wasn't very good. It was average at best. And you have Peyton Manning now. Peyton Manning's last year, he was hurt. He was dealing with a painful foot injury, and he really never overcame that. So, okay, we'll take out the last year maybe. But you have Peyton Manning, who's the greatest of all time, one of the greatest of all time, who thrived in the shotgun because he can see and read a defense. He steps back, analyzes everything, knows what's going to happen. Gary Kubiak becomes the head coach and says, no, Peyton, you're going to be under center. And then they kind of figured out this pistol offense. That worked, but it wasn't to the same degree as when Adam Gase was running the offense with Peyton Manning. So now they went out and hired this Rick Scangarella, the quarterback's coach of the San Francisco 49ers, to run the Broncos offense. And is it going to work? I don't know. But at least it's some fresh blood with maybe some fresh ideas. Now, this will be the first time that he's ever called plays on offense in the NFL. And when he was with the 49ers, you know, Nick Mullins came in. No one had heard of him. Now, again, he wasn't their offensive coordinator, but Nick Mullins was all right. And in fact, if you look at the Broncos season, which eventually led to their demise, was that game in San Francisco in which Scangarello was coaching Nick Mullins, right? Mullins played pretty well. Now, granted, you know, Chris Harris was hurt and done, and the secondary was pretty thin, but they kept it simple. That tight end was open, open, and open, and open, and he gashed the Broncos' offense. So, at least there's some fresh blood in the building. Now, instead of recycling, you know, old coaches, and then, as I say this, they are somewhat recycling their defensive coordinator, Ed Donatell. His third time with the Broncos, he was their defensive backs coach in the mid-90s and on their Super Bowl runs. And then he was McDaniel's DB's coach in 2010. But Donatell and Vic Fangio, they've been together for the last 8 years. They've had a lot of success. We saw how well Chicago was last year. Top-ranked defense in the NFL. And they were together in San Francisco as well when they had success and made a run to a Super Bowl. So Vic Fangio's getting his shot, and he's going to do it his way. And I'm kind of excited about that. Just fresh. It's not John Fox, who is great at restoring teams and getting them to a championship level, but not necessarily winning a championship. John Elway made a mistake, and he admitted it this week, that hiring Vance Joseph was not the right call because Vance Joseph wasn't ready. One game, Joseph would be very aggressive. The next game, he'd be extremely passive. You have to have an identity if you're going to succeed as a head coach in the NFL, because when you're wavering like that, that tells the players, wait, you believed in me last week, but then this week you don't believe in me at all. And that sends mixed messages, and that really leads to poor football. All right, speaking of good football, Championship Saturday this Sunday, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs and New England Patriots, and we also have the Rams and the New Orleans Saints. The top four teams kind of went according to the seeding. And I'm really curious about this Chiefs-Patriots game, because anytime Bill Belichick is involved in a championship game of any sort, I love the way his mind works. Now, he had an extra week to prepare for the Colts, for the Chargers, and he picked them apart. And they dominated that game against Los Angeles. Now, I can't wait to see Belichick's approach with Pat Mahomes. What's he going to take away? Belichick always finds something to take away from a team, their strength. And then it's kind of like basketball, right? You got Steph Curry on the floor. You got Kevin Durant on the floor. You got Klay Thompson. What am I going to try and take away? Who's going to beat me? And that's what the Patriots do. They say, all right, we're going to take away Tyreek Hill. He is not going to be a weapon for you today. So go ahead and try and beat us with X, Y, and Z. So I'm really interested to see about that. Now, they played each other earlier in the season. The Patriots won that game by a field goal. And it's going to be the first time that in Kansas City history, or in Arrowhead, I should say, that they're going to host an AFC Championship game. And by all accounts, and what I've heard, that is one of the best venues to watch NFL football. And I can only imagine how much those people are going to make that stadium electric and loud and noisy. Now, it won't have any effect on the Patriots because they prepare for everything. But I'm really interested to see the Kansas City Chiefs fan base just go wild, especially if Mahomes, you know, if I'm Andy Reid and we win the coin toss, I'm getting the football. We're starting with the football, and I'm marching that football down the field, and we're getting seven. So that place can just erupt like a volcano. And then you got the Rams and the Saints. So if you're a fan of football, and one of the reasons why all these NFL owners are just completely enamored with Sean McVay, and rightfully so, is McVay is a great designer of plays. He just finds the matchups, again, back to the basketball analogy, he finds the right matchups and he gets the ball in the hands of a guy who's going to succeed. And then you got the Saints with Drew Brees, and they're at home, and that place is going to be deafening. So two of the best venues in football will be hosting championship games in the AFC and the NFC. New Orleans, again, a great city. I've been to the city. Never seen a Saints game there, but you got a dome. They love and are passionate about their Saints. That's going to be a great atmosphere as well. So from an atmosphere standpoint, we've got some great, great, great games this Sunday for Championship Sunday. You know, the Saints got the two-headed monster with Alvin Kamara, you know, and they're going to be running the football, and then Breeze is going to hit his receivers down the field. And the Saints kind of have a superstar team. You know, they got a lot of names, right? They got Marcus Peters. They got Aqib Talib. They got Ndamukong Suh. They got Todd Gurley. And how happy, well, I shouldn't ask you, I'm really happy to see the success C.J. Anderson is having with the Rams. I mean, they brought him in at the end of the season basically to give Todd Gurley a breather and some rest, and he has just beat up defensive lines. And their offensive line has been great, And they must love blocking for CJ because he just finds a little hole. He gets low. He's like a little bowling ball, and he picks up 4 or 5 yards a clip. I hope CJ Anderson has a good game in the NFC Championship game. It would be great to see, and I'm glad after being cut by the Broncos and not really getting the ball much in Carolina and then having a cup of coffee with the Raiders, which is cool because he's from Oakland. It was important for his family. So I think I read somewhere that like his mom was taking pictures of him in the parking lot in his Raiders uniform. That's pretty cool. And now he's going to have a shot to play in the second Super Bowl. And we all remember Super Bowl 50, him scoring that touchdown and earning all those hard yards. And he's a smart, smart guy, really bright. So I hope this leads to an opportunity for him again next year. And then you got to keep Tlaib. You know, some Broncos fans like him, some didn't. I thought he was great. He's a great football player. That's an interesting game because I think the Saints are going to win. And I'm going to give them the edge because they're at home, and I'm going to pick the Saints, but it would not surprise me at all if the Rams won that football game because they just have so much talent. But I think the deciding factor is going to be that the Saints are at home and they're going to have a true home field advantage. And then in the AFC Championship game, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs and Patriots are going to score a lot of points, and I think the Chiefs are going to prevail by a score of 38-35. I think that's how that game's going to go. Patriots secondary is really good. Belichick has done a wonderful job with that secondary because there were a lot of question marks going into the season for New England, especially the first month or two of the season. So I think the Chiefs and the Saints are going to play in this year's Super Bowl for all the marbles. So that's my prediction. All right, let's go ahead now and shift gears and welcome in for the very first time on the Nam and Aches podcast, a big moment in his career, Mr. Dave Ramsey from the Colorado Springs Gazette. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you.
I appreciate it. So for those people who are going to download this podcast and haven't heard yet, you're making a little bit of a career change. Fill us in on that, please.
Yeah. After almost 16 years as Gazette sports columnist, I'm going to become the Gazette's lead columnist. So I'll be writing about all kinds of stuff. I'll still do sports here and there, not often, but here and there. But human interest, faith, music. Scenery. I mean, the beauty of Colorado. I mean, it's a long list. So it's going to be fun. I'm really excited about it.
Was this something you've thought about for a long time, or did somebody approach you at the Gazette and say, "Hey, Dave, I was thinking about this"?
Yeah, they asked me 2 years ago to make the move, and I said no, and then this summer I started thinking about it and changed my mind, and fortunately the offer was still there. So, there's been other times in my career, I've been doing this for a while. There's been other times in my career that I've been asked to leave sports to try to take on the bigger world.
So you mean being an adult? They've asked you to be an adult, is that?
That's right. But I always said later. I always told myself, I'll do it later.
Right.
Well, I'm almost 60, right? I mean, I'm so later is here. So, I had a blast writing sports, spending time with you, and I even had a good time spending time with Sam Farnsworth.
Yeah, that's not easy.
So, I had a good time, but I did it for a long time, I thought it was time for a change. I'm going to miss a lot about sports. one of the things I'm not going to miss is dealing with your good friend, Troy Calhoun.
I was just going to ask you about that. Did Coach Calhoun call you and try to convince you to change your mind to stay in sports?
You know, I heard from a few coaches when the news started to leak out. I you know, strangely enough, I have not heard from Coach Calhoun.
That is shocking. If we had some breaking news music, I'd play that right now. let me ask you, though, Dave, I mean, you're very passionate sports writer, and especially about the game of basketball. But I'm curious, you know, you've been doing this for quite some time. For those of you who don't know, Dave was also in Syracuse, New York, covered their great basketball teams and all of their great athletics that they have at Syracuse University. Do you have a favorite column that you wrote or a story that you wrote?
Well, you know, a couple columns that stick in my mind. You know, dealing with and talking with Carson Bird, the great Air Force cornerback, who, you know, tragically, sadly, you know, it still shakes me up to say, you know, he's passed. He died of cancer.
Yeah.
And spending time with him, you know, we would meet for coffee. You know, and sit outside this coffee shop on cold mornings. I really wasn't quite sure why we were sitting outside, but Carson was a tough guy, and he liked the fresh air. And we just sit there and talk. And this, you know, this is after he had, you know, he was battling the cancer. And you know, just being around that level of courage and stubborn optimism.
Yeah.
And you know, and he was, nothing about those mornings, Rob, is, you know, he was thinking so much about others.
Right.
You know, and it really, you know, there were, you know, I enjoyed going to games, and I'm going to still enjoy going to games and not writing about them.
Yeah, even more so.
But, yeah, but, you know, there were, going to game is seldom, you know, life-changing, right? It's seldom a powerful experience. And dealing with Carson was just, you know, it really changed my outlook. It really helped me, you know, take a look at myself. Hey, do I think about others as much as Carson does? Am I concerned about others, you know, like he is in these moments when he's, you know, really, really hurting?
Yeah, he was.
So, yeah, that sticks with me. That sticks with me.
Yeah, and I talked to him a little bit, too. I mean, he was just incredibly brave. And as you mentioned, optimistic. Yeah. And it's really sad to see somebody so young and who was before the cancer, full of life, very intelligent, had a bright future, beautiful wife, like was starting his life, and yet freaking cancer goes and takes that all away from him.
Go
ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, as you mentioned, it puts things in perspective. You know, maybe for you, you need to talk to somebody and they're too busy or they don't want to deal with you and that's your job and you get upset about it. But then if you look through things in the eyes of someone like Carson Bird, you realize, well, is that really that important? You know?
Yeah. No, well said.
Yeah. So you'll still be going to games, and as you mentioned, now you can sit there as a true fan and enjoy it and not have to find a story or a column to write from it, which obviously is a great challenge when you're at a game, especially when you're covering a nondescript team. What's the challenge going to be for you like now that you won't be at a game and trying to find an angle or a story to tell when you'll be going out and you'll kind of already know the story? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Well, I think, you know, Rob, with the sports gig, there's always an underlying reason for the column, right? And that, okay, here we are on the sports page and here is someone writing a column about sports. When you're writing it, you know, when you're writing a general column or a lead column, you have to, you know, I think you have to sell it a little bit more You know, why are we here? Why are we, you know, for instance, I'm planning a column on Vallejos, which is a, you know, a terrific Mexican restaurant tucked away on the edge of downtown, and hardly anybody knows about it because of where it's situated. I'm planning to go there. I'm planning to go there and talk with the family. It's been there since the 60s. It's, you know, but the question is for a reader, well, why are we here?
Right.
Right.
Why am I spending my time reading this?
Yeah. And I, you know, some of my best buddies, in the business and just in life are general, newspaper columnists. Mm-hmm. I have several close friends who have done this. And so I've been able to watch them and learn from them, I hope, about how to pull this off. You know, and one of my good friends was a sports columnist and then left a long time ago and has been a lead columnist for, you know, like 25 years. So I've been reading his stuff for 25 years, and he's really good. And maybe by imitating him a little bit, I can be okay. But it is going to be, you know, in some ways, you know, it's not going to be that much different.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be doing what I've always done, what you do, what Sam does, what others do. I mean, you know, going out and talking to people and then reflecting on it and reporting on it.
Sure.
But in some ways it will be a lot different.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite story, you know, of being on a beat or being on a column that you'd be willing to share? I mean, have you done a lot of reflection just because now, you know, this chapter of your life is somewhat coming to an end?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it. I have been thinking about it the last few weeks. You know, there were so many, you know, so many great games. I mean, you're going to be able to relate to this. And this is going way back when I was young. And I was at the 1986 Big East basketball finals at Madison Square Garden. And that might have been the best game I ever saw.
Syracuse, Georgetown?
Syracuse, St. John's.
Syracuse, St. John's.
St. John's, right? And Pearl Washington, who is somewhat forgotten because, you know, he was a great college player. His game just didn't translate into the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable. A great, great game.
And then St. John's had Chris Mullen. And I believe
St. John's had, this was after Mullen.
It was after
Walter
Mullen.
Walter
Berry.
And at the end of that game, Pearl's driving inside and gets right to the basket, and at the buzzer, Walter Berry blocks the shot.
Yeah. Was that Mark Jackson, too?
Yeah, Mark Jackson was on that team. You know, and then moving forward quite a few years, I think of Coach Calhoun's first year at Air Force, 2007. Texas Christian comes to town
with Gary Patterson,
and there's no reason, you know, they had destroyed Air Force the previous seasons.
Yeah,
and you know, it turns out Texas Christian wasn't as mighty as we thought, but that Air Force was much, much more mighty than we thought.
Right, with Chad
that
Hall,
was a great, great game. You know, and Coach Calhoun. Got to give him credit. He goes for it on 4th-and-1 at his own 29.
Yeah.
At his own 29, they score on a 71-yard touchdown. Smallis runs faster than he's ever run in his life.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great night. A great night. You could sense a whole new era in Air Force football. I really enjoyed sitting courtside or sitting them in the press box and watching a game, right? And if you don't get, you know, a happy jolt out of that, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, for sure.
Those were good times. And, you know, and unlike you, you know, I was fortunate. We always got to stay for the whole game. You know, that's not always the truth for sportscasters. We stayed for the whole game. And I saw a lot of great ones. Met a lot of, fascinating people. You know, Frank Ceratori. Frank Ceratori, you know, the word unique's overused. It's really overused. Frank's unique in a good way.
He's a sports reporter's dream because you just have to put the mic in front of his mouth.
And he's a great dude, too. You know, Fisher DeBerry.
Yeah.
Who I still talk to, three or four times a year. And even though I was one who said it was time for him to conclude that magnificent career.
Yeah.
There was a great cast of characters. Great cast of characters.
So you mentioned, obviously, Carson Bird and the impact that story had on you, his story had on you. You've mentioned, Frank Ceratori, Fisher DeBerry. Is there a favorite coach or a favorite athlete in your time doing this that you just absolutely adore and love or loved covering?
I don't know, but I would say somebody I consistently enjoyed was Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
Right? Who made the mistake, I believe, in abandoning Nuggets fans. I mean, I think if he'd stuck around, NBA fans would have a different look at him. I mean, it's still weird to me how his career just so quickly collapsed.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a quick story. I was at the London Olympics. I just covered a basketball game, and it's hard to explain, but it was extremely confusing, the basketball complex. So I was wandering around lost, and I was looking around, and I almost ran into this big guy. I looked up, it was Carmelo.
Uh-huh.
Right, it was Carmelo. And he said, "Hey, Dave, how you doing?" Because we're both Syracuse guys.
Right.
So I've gotten to know him. But, this is after he had demanded that trade.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in South Denver. I grew up a long walk from, from Pepsi Center.
Sure.
Although there wasn't a Pepsi Center at the time. But
McNichols, right?
And we got to talking. He wondered, Carmelo wondered if Denver fans or Colorado fans were going to boo him when he came back. He was preparing for his first return after he demanded that trade.
Yeah.
And I said, hell yes, they're going to boo you. I guarantee you everybody from my old neighborhood is going to be booing you because they care about you. They didn't want you to leave. They're mad at you.
Right.
They're going to boo. And he's like, really? I go, really? I mean, they're going to boo. And they did. But Carmelo was a fascinating character. And, it'll always be forgotten or overlooked how close Carmelo came to taking the Nuggets to the title.
Yeah, in 08.
Right? If the Nuggets win the 2009 Western Conference Finals, they're going to win the title. And, that wasn't one of the great Kobe Bryant Lakers teams. It was a vulnerable team.
Right.
And Carmelo came close, and if you look at how he played in that series, it's not his fault the Nuggets couldn't get it done.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I think people forget how close they were in, 08 and 09 and, the dynamic between him and Allen Iverson and George Karl. I remember after that 09 series, he was not happy with George Karl and some of the decisions that he made. While we're on the topic of the Nuggets, and let's talk a little bit about now and, teams that you covered and have been around extensively. What do you think of this year's Nuggets? I mean, we saw on Tuesday night Golden State with their all-star team, just really took it to them. But then last night they bounced back against the Bulls. Where do you think they fit right now in the Western Conference? And how serious are the Nuggets as a contender of being a championship team?
Well, one of the reasons the NFL is so popular is because it's so unpredictable, right?
Yes.
I mean, the Eagles finished last in the NFC East. And then win the Super Bowl the next year.
Right.
Right? The Jaguars, you could argue, are the worst team in the NFL 2 years ago. They lead the Patriots in the fourth quarter of the AFC title game last season, and then they're bad again this year. The NBA, on the other hand, is highly predictable. And Paul Klee wrote a strong column for us saying, hey, this is the Warriors' year again. The Nuggets are getting ready for later.
Right.
But I don't completely count the Nuggets out. If the Nuggets, and this will be really tough, the Nuggets can have the number one record in the West, which, again, that's going to be really difficult. They would have Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at NBA history, I believe it's 83% or somewhere close
it
to
sounds,
that.
That sounds like an accurate
home
number.
Home teams win Game 7. So my point is, if the Nuggets could get the number one seed and play the Warriors and take it to 7, all these things are not what you'd call highly likely, but are possible. The Nuggets could rule the West and probably rule the NBA. If you start thinking, well, next year, Durant might not be with the Warriors. Where are the Lakers going to be at next year?
Right.
So then then you say the next year, you don't know what's going to happen. So, I've been following the Nuggets since before they were the Nuggets, right? I mean, they used to be called the Rockets. I used to go see the Denver Rockets.
The old ABA days?
Yeah, and so I've been following them forever. It's difficult for me and for other longtime Nuggets fans to get, filled with optimism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a franchise that's been to the Western Conference Finals. The Western Conference Finals. Twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Twice. And so, the NBA Finals, that's kind of hard for me to get my head around. Like everybody else, I like this team. It's fun. It's generous basketball.
It is. I love the way they play.
Yeah, and so,
and they all truly like one another, which is kind of better than me, Dave. I mean, that's rare in the NBA that egos are put aside.
Yeah, and Jokic is just a different kind of player.
Yeah,
right? He's such a modern player too. The game has, years ago, I think that he might have been limited and maybe even almost crippled by his lack of toughness. Well, that's not the game now. The game is wide open. It's not about pushing and shoving and in the middle.
Yeah, there's freedom of movement, as they like to say.
Yeah. So it's been a while since the Nuggets won a playoff series. It's been a while since the Nuggets were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So dreaming big is always a lot of fun and probably is most fun when it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, what can the Nuggets do in the Jokic era? I used to ask myself that during the Anthony era. And, a lot of great things happened during the Anthony era, but they didn't make it to the NBA Finals. You have to do maybe not everything right, but an awful lot right. For instance, with the Anthony era, I think they overspent on Kenyon Martin, right?
Yeah, because once his legs went, so did in his game.
Yeah. So you have to be careful with your money. You have to be blessed with health. LeBron is now in the West. That's huge. That's huge.
But I wonder, though, if people are going to want to play with him.
Man, he's such a good passer. If you want to play the game the right way and you want to win and you don't need the spotlight on you.
Right. But
yeah, you want to play with.
That's the thing. A lot of guys want the ball in their hand. And as you know, LeBron wants the ball in his hand, and he's going to have the ball in his hand. And that's a hard thing for other guys to get used to when they're accustomed to, you know, having the rock in their hand. I mean, Dwayne Wade made concessions when they were in Miami. You know, that's the only way it works with LeBron. That's the thing I'm most curious about when it comes to LeBron James. And now that he's 35 versus 30 or 27 or 26, what have you, like, do you want to go join LeBron and not have the ball in your hand? And not that his skills have diminished or anything, but I think things have changed over the last 5 years.
Well, and getting back to the Nuggets, if you're a smart player, you want to play with Jokic.
For sure.
And that's going to help them.
Yeah.
That's going to help the Nuggets as they move forward.
So what about Air Force basketball? I mean, they had a big win. They had a packed house against UNLV. It seems like every time Coach Pilipovich gets his team to start playing well, they take two steps back for various reasons. And I know you and I have talked a lot about college basketball and our love for college basketball. And obviously you covered some great, great teams in Syracuse and passionate fan base. Do you ever think Air Force could get remotely close to that?
No, you know, and I was here for those, you know, those great years, 2003, 2007, with Air Force basketball. I want to say they were like 50 and 16 at home, something like that during that era. That shows what's possible. You know, they went to the tournament twice. You know, getting tickets for a game at Clune was tough. Trust me on that. I always bought tickets, right? Nobody ever gave me tickets during my sports writing career. So mm-hmm. when I was getting tickets for my boys, I went to the ticket office and bought them.
There you go.
And sometimes I couldn't get them, right?
And you're Dave Ramsey.
That's possible. That's possible.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of success is possible. I know it's possible because I saw it. I know it's possible in a tougher version of the Mountain West, too. I mean, the Mountain West with Utah and Brigham Young was a better Mountain West than today.
Sure.
You know, I really like Ryan Swan. You know, I think Ryan Swan, if he's healthy, if he's given the right role, he can be one of the better players in the Mountain West next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a rare Air Force player who's a first-team Mountain West kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I think that's Ryan Swan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I got to tell you, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, he came back. You know, because there had to have been some schools who let him know through back channels that, hey, you want to transfer?
Right.
Door's open.
And we've seen that.
You know. Yeah. I think that this team has some potential, as it's already shown. You know that Coach Pilipovich, who is, as you know, one of the best. He's one of the best people you're ever going to meet.
Oh, no question.
He's got to win.
Yeah.
So this team probably needs to flirt with 500 in the Mountain West for Coach Pilipovich, and I'm hopeful for him. But I like the team even more next season.
Yeah.
And maybe next season's team won't have the perennial slow start that this team, you know, that the Falcons again had this year.
Yeah, it's kind of been the trend. Well, Dave, always loved reading your work. There's a part of me who said that you're going to be moving on to adulthood and joining the evil side of our business. I kid. But just thank you for caring and being so passionate about athletes, whether it's college, pro, and especially high school athletes here in Southern Colorado. Your work will be sorely missed.
Well, hey, listen, I appreciate it. It's been a blast. And as I said, I'll still be writing some sports every once in a while. So.
All right. Well, that's Dave Ramsey of the Colorado Springs Gazette. Thanks a lot, Dave, for joining me, and I'll see you down the road, as they say.
Yeah, hey, have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Dave. And you can always read Dave's stuff at the Colorado Springs Gazette, whether it's in their website or online, you know, there's a thing called the paper that sometimes you can pick up and get your hands dirty with as well. So I want to thank Dave for joining the show. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast. And before we get out of here, I got to give some props here to our sponsor of the Nam and Eggs podcast. You've been listening to the Nam and Eggs podcast presented by Southern Colorado Napa Auto and Truck Parts, 3 locations in Napa know-how to make sure when you leave their store, you have the right part in your hand every time. You can call them at 632-4616. That's 632-4616 for locations, hours, and parts information. Want to thank the producer of the Nam and Eggs podcast, TJ Gerzina, behind the glass. Thank you, TJ. And again, thank you for downloading this podcast, and we'll do it again very soon. Enjoy Championship Sunday. I'm Rob Namnoom. Have a good week.
You've been listening to the weekly Nam and Eggs podcast with Rob Namnoom, sponsored by Southern Colorado, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, 3 locations, and Napa know-how to make sure you leave with the right part every time. Call 632-4616. That's 632-4616 for locations, hours, and parts information.